Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. President Trump just wrapping up his address at the American Farm Bureau Federation's 100th annual convention in New Orleans today. A crowd that he's comfortable with. Common sense people, he calls them, who are the backbone of our country. And later today at the White House, the president welcomes the college football champion Clemson Tigers. Woefully inadequate, that is what the teachers' union calls the most recent offer by the L.A. Unified School District. So teachers in the nation's second largest public school district are striking today. 30,000 Los Angeles teachers walking the picket lines. They want smaller classes for students and larger paychecks. Police in Logan Township, New Jersey, say a hostage situation has ended after a suspect is shot at a UPS facility with no serious injuries to the two female victims. And on Wall Street, everything's still in the red. The Dow down 97, NASDAQ down 52, S&P down 13. This is SRN News.
No rain in the forecast today. We'll only see a few clouds in the sky. The high will be 63 degrees. This evening, partly cloudy with a 1 in 10 chance of rain. We're expecting an overnight low of about 42. And for tomorrow, partly cloudy, a 1 in 10 chance of rain expected tomorrow. And our high will be 61 degrees.
Hey folks, good afternoon and welcome to SWAT Radio. I am Brad Sykes. I'm here with my good buddy, my comrade, Doug McCary. Doug, happy Monday to you.
Yep, Monday, January 14th, already halfway through January 2019.
Hush.
Is that not crazy how quick it goes?
Well, good to be back. Second week in the saddle, and I'm excited about this week as we're going to jump into a little childlike faith, saving faith in particular.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to jumping in that. You know, it's been a while. We'll do a little bit of a review about the Matthew, just to bring people back, because remember, we always like to set context. And again, just to remind our listeners about SWAT, this week we start our SWAT groups back up. You can go to www.swatradio.com and see where our locations are. For outside of Jacksonville, if you want to start a SWAT group in your area, give me a call or shoot me an email. I got a guy starting one out in Colorado Springs. Rich Griffith is starting one.
Oh,
Rich used
really?
To be a player for the Jaguars. He's wanting to start a SWAT group out there, and I'm excited that he's starting that thing up. Yeah, you can start one up, and every week you get SWAT Radio. You can have your guys listen to it, and just we're going to be teaching through the same stuff. We're teaching through Matthew 20 this week. We start in Matthew 20, but on the radio this week, we're reviewing Matthew 19, 13 through 30, and we'll give a brief review of Matthew. We've been in Matthew for a while, and we'll just set some context to it. But five core values of SWAT are: God's word is our starting point and authority. Prayer is staying close to our commander. It's really important for us and a core value for us to pray for each other and for the church, for our leaders, and to be prayerful. And then the third thing is engaging witnesses for impact. That's evangelism, that we are all to be witnesses. You have no option to say no to being a witness to Jesus Christ. You're either a witness for him or you're a witness against him. Because if you're a witness for the world, it's against Christ, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And then fourth is discipleship, making his last command our first priority. And then number five is the one that we really like. It's a band of brothers, community, a band of brothers around the word. I was talking to a guy the other day, Brad, that was asking about the group, and I mentioned that we're a band of brothers. We're wanting every guy to feel like he can be a part where he's not alone. And he said, man, that's what I want.
Well, I mentioned this at the SWAT Bible study a month ago, maybe a little more than a month ago, when I was teaching on the topic of discipleship, and I basically went around the room, asked the room, how many of you men, and as you know, I mean, many of these men have been walking with the Lord for years and years and years. How many of you have one man in your life, who knows everything about you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's very few people that have that.
Tim Luss said that Sunday at church. He said, if you do not have somebody in your life that you are accountable to and sharing with, it's impossible to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to grow. It's impossible to grow in the spiritual life because there's no lone rangers. You don't see it. In fact, Jesus himself, when he called the disciples, they spent all day, every day with Jesus. He didn't say, come follow the way I teach. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, be like me as a teacher. He just said, come follow me. And they were together. It wasn't a compartment or add-on to their life. It became their life.
Yeah, that's right.
To be with him. And, you know, for us, people might be going, well, I'm not called to ministry to go be a missionary or to go in the church as a preacher. No, but you are either a disciple for Jesus Christ, you're a missionary for Jesus Christ, or you're a mission field for Jesus Christ. Yeah. I mean, you're one of those. We should all be being discipled or making disciples.
I mean, you're a warrior in the true sense in that you served in the military. You know, does anybody go into a battlefield alone?
No,
never.
No, in fact, part of what we do at SWAT is training, right? I mean, there's a training aspect of it, and not just in the SWAT meetings each week, but we have opportunities for guys to go to India, guys to go to over to the Philippines. We went to the Philippines this year. We may go to Haiti in 19. I just got invited to go to Romania to teach. And, you know, there's a real need over there for training people like what we're doing in India. This guy over there brings people from different countries into Romania, and they go through some training. But there's needs all over. And so that's part of what we do, too. I mean, you've benefited from going. Mm-hmm. Did it change your perspective to go overseas and be a part of that?
Not just perspective, but, yeah, life.
Yeah.
It's life-changing.
And we also take people to Israel every year. Yep. You have an opportunity to go over there. And our trip in January 2020 is the 17th through 26th. We'd love for you to be a part. But all of that is to help people be part of a community of believers. We call ourselves SWAT brothers. Now, the SWAT groups, we have five in town, one in Mandarin, one in at the beach, one at, around this area, which is really kind of the, I call it the 295 JTB area. We have one in St. Augustine and one that meets at Beach Boulevard at East Side Community Church at night. It's the only night one we have. But other than community, we also... The word of God is really a key part of discipleship. And it's not just reading to say I've read. It's the Torah was so important for them, the law, because the kingdom of God is not a geographical area. It's where his law is obeyed.
And they meditated on it day and night.
Yeah. And they meditated, which means to chew. And if you meditate long enough, you actually memorize too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that's a part. But the third part of being a disciple, other than community and other than the word of God, is also this idea of a passion to be like Jesus. I mean, do you have a passion to be like him? I think too often, Brad, our passion is to know about him. We may be passionate to know his word, but do we really want to be like him? Because he gave everything.
Well, you've spent enough time in foreign countries. When you're around, I remember as a high school kid, I took almost a month to go to Mexico City, living with a good friend of mine. And boy, within about a week or two, I started to sound like him. You know, when you will become that which you hang around. That what you're around. And if you're in the Word, it's going to get in you.
Yeah.
And it's going to change you.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're a brain surgeon, whether you're a real estate broker, whether you're a law enforcement guy. The idea is that wherever you are, if you're a disciple, you realize that you are in a community around the Word of God with a passion to be like Jesus, to spread His glory and His kingdom authority around this world, to baptize and make disciples. And, you know, I don't know if you caught it last week, Brad, but do you know who Cody Parker is?
Heard of.
The kicker for the Chicago Bears.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Right. Well, I do now because I happened to watch a few of his kicks hit the goalpost.
Oh, yeah. Well, he set an NFL rookie scoring record in 14. So just 5 years ago, and he was named to the Pro Bowl the following year. So this is a Pro Bowl kicker. Mm. This is not some rookie who just can't kick, right?
Right.
You know, everybody by now has heard about the miss where he lined up. He made it the first time through, but they called a timeout like they often do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when he came back, it hit the goalpost, and they lost.
Yep.
And they didn't make it. But what struck me is he was interviewed last week by a news show, and they asked him about how he was handling. I mean, think about it. First of all, that's a tough position to be in.
No doubt.
You know, it's like one of those Southwest Airlines moments. Do you want to get away?
Exactly.
I mean, you really want to get away. But in the interview, he made this statement. And if you're out there and your identity is wrapped up in your work, your family, your whatever, something you like, a hobby, think about what this guy said. This is an NFL kicker who was a Pro Bowl kicker. Granted, he missed the kick, but he has had a lot of success. And he said, football is what I do. It's not who I am.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what a great statement.
How do you get there? You know, how do you get there? We were having a discussion yesterday about screen time and how much our children are on their phones, on their devices.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they're trying to find an identity most of the time. And social media. Yet we as adults are doing the same thing. It may not be all the time spent looking at a screen, but it may be looking at a bottom line. It may be looking at, you name it, whatever it is, and how easy it is to get caught into that trap that you are what you do.
Well, so often you'll see these football players interviewed, and after a big win, an MVP win or something, they'll say, I just want to give God all the credit.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go through a difficult time and you still cling to something like that, it reminds us that we love God for who He is, not what He does for us.
Amen.
I mean, think about that. So often we can evolve into people, if God blesses us all, we're real close to Him. But if He doesn't, in this world, like if we're going through a difficult time, we kind of pull away from Him. The other thing is that faith sustains us in hard times. It actually, when we go through, I love what Habakkuk says, that even the fig tree, when it doesn't blossom, nor fruit on the vine, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flocks are cut off. He says all this stuff. He says, yet I will still rejoice.
Hmm.
I will still rejoice, and I will take joy in the God of my salvation. You know,
Doug, spiritual maturity is not measured by how you are on top of the mountain. It's really measured by how you are in the valley. You know, this dependence, and we're going to kind of tap into a little of that this afternoon and this week about what is childlike faith? What is saving faith?
Yeah, because there's a lot of different versions out there, aren't there?
Amen. Boy, yeah. That's for sure. So, listen, I'm glad you've joined us out there today. If you want to send us a question as we begin to discuss this topic of saving faith, you can send us an email at ask@swatradio.com. You can check us out on Facebook, or Twitter, or Instagram at SWAT Radio Talk. You can even call us at 904-401-1413 or 1-844-777-7928.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
SWAT Radio is brought to you on the truth by Evolve Bank and Trust. Evolve offers investment services, trust and mortgage services, physician lending, and equipment finance. Through its affiliates, a network of bankers, trust officers, and mortgage advisors, they offer a wide array of loan products and services and are actively involved in the growth of the communities they serve. Evolve is a nationwide lender providing residential mortgage loans, including conventional, FHA, VA, home equity lines of credit, reverse mortgages, and USDA loans. More information is available by calling Michael Koopman with Evolve Bank and Trust at 727-415-2214. Their web address is www.clearwater.evolve.mortgage. Equal housing lender. All loans subject to credit approval.
Once I rose above the noise and confusion, just to get a glimpse beyond this illusion, I was soaring ever higher.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here with my buddy Doug McCary this Monday afternoon. Ready to dig into the text, Doug?
I am. I want to give a little bit of background to Matthew for people who are just joining us really for the first time, and to let them know, that remind them really, that Matthew was written by Levi, who met Jesus as a tax collector and started following him.
We were there.
Yeah, we went to Capernaum.
Capernaum.
Or as our friend Ryan would say, Capernaum.
Capernaum.
And we were there, but Matthew was written to Jewish people from a Jewish perspective to identify Jesus as the king. He was the Messiah, the promised one. And Matthew writes from a perspective of a man who lived a life apart from Christ until he met Jesus. He was not a religious man. He was a greedy tax collector. And when he encountered Jesus, it changed his entire life. And he starts off his gospel with the genealogy. I call it the genealogy of grace. He has four women in it you would never put in your genealogy because they were harlots and pretended to be a prostitute, and people who were involved in affairs. I mean, just terrible in that culture, scandalous women. But he put them in there because he wanted people to know there's a thread of grace that runs through that genealogy. And his message is one of grace. It is the message of Jesus. It is, you know, come to him. He's the king that was promised back in the Old Testament. He has more Old Testament prophecies than any other gospel. He's laid them out because he's trying to communicate to the Jewish people that Jesus was Messiah. He was king. And so the first few chapters, he lays out the birth of the king, the one who goes before the king in chapter 3, John the Baptist. Chapter 4, the calling of the king's men to himself as he calls the disciples to himself to follow him. Chapter 5, 6, and 7, he deals with the edict of the king, if you will, or the law of the king, or he doesn't come in and give them the law. He clarifies the law because the Pharisees and religious leaders had been twisting the law. So he lays out the real meaning. It's not just about the outside, it's about the inside. And make some pretty clear proclamations about what it means to really know him. And if you know him, he says, it's going to produce fruit in your life. In fact, if you don't know him and he doesn't know you, it says in Matthew 7 that there's going to be many who say they know him, but he never knew them. even though they did all these religious acts. And then chapter 8 and 9, there's three sets of three. There's a triplet of three miracles, a teaching on discipleship, three miracles, a teaching on discipleship, and three miracles, a teaching on discipleship. And in those three triplets, we see him heal blind people, heal mutes. We see him heal demon-possessed people. We see him raise someone from the dead. And fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament back in Isaiah, that's what Messiah would do. He healed a leper. And they were looking for it. And he told that leper, hey, don't go tell anybody. Go straight to the temple. Why? Because there was a court of lepers there for the person that the Messiah would heal. And that was going to be a sign. And so, and there's teaching on discipleship. We know from chapter 8, there were people that came up to him and said, hey, I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you. And he said, no, you don't really, because it's not going to be easy. And one guy says, well, I want to follow you, but first let me go bury my dad. He says, no, let the dead bury the dead. He made it very difficult, very different than what we see today in our culture. And then he goes from chapter 9 into chapter 10. And in chapter 10, he really, I think it's one of the best chapters on discipleship, Brad, in the Bible, because he calls the 12 disciples and they move at this point from just being his followers to now his sent ones, his apostles. Mm-hmm. And he sends them out. He sends out the 12. And there's a couple of things that really are clear in this passage. One is that he tells them to go out. You don't have to fear. And you know, fear is something that really paralyzes a lot of people that say they want to follow Christ. They're paralyzed by fear of embarrassment, fear of failure, fear of rejection. And he says, don't fear. Persecution's going to come. People are not going to like you. If they hate me, they're going to hate you. But don't worry. The hairs on your head are numbered. I know them. I'm going to take care of them. If I care for the birds, I'm going to care for you. Any person that is ashamed of me, then I will be ashamed of you in front of my Father who's in heaven. So he gives some very clear teaching on discipleship. But then in chapter 11, we see John the Baptist in prison doubting, wondering, is he really the one? Why am I in prison? Why is Herod still in power? Why are the Romans still in power? And Jesus sends disciples and says, his disciples back to John the Baptist and says, hey, tell him what you see. Tell him what you hear. And the thing that I loved about that is you're going to have doubts in the Christian life.
Yep.
But when you do, look to Jesus. That's what he sent people to Jesus.
That's one of the most encouraging passages, I believe, in a time where, you know, you may be doubting. Listen, I mean, we had a guy, and you know, one of the disciples was named Doubting Thomas. But yeah, I think here where John sends that letter, you know, he doesn't gossip about it with his buddies in prison. Yeah. He just goes directly to the source. Are you the one?
Are you the one? Are we supposed to look for somebody else?
Should we look for another?
Well, and then we go into chapter 13. And chapter 13, it's a series of parables. It begins with the parable of the sower and the soils, the four different types of soils. And what Jesus is laying out there for his followers and what Matthew's laying out for his readers is that there's going to be four responses to the word of God. And three of them look alike.
Mm-hmm.
But only one of them is really a good response.
Yeah.
And so he lays that out with other parables that just talk about the kingdom. Then in chapter 14, we see the death of John the Baptist, which he goes off the scene and Jesus really then steps in. You know, Jesus really is, I mean, he had been in prison, but we see that, you know, it talks about his death. And Jesus goes from there to feeding 5,000. He withdraws. He goes to this place. It says a desolate place, and there's a lot of people following him, because of all the great miracles he's done, and he feeds 5,000 men and their families. Then we see him walking on water. Peter walks on water. He deals with the issue of Peter's faith. And one of the things that you keep seeing with him, with the disciples, is he is constantly trying to teach them to trust. And, I mean, he's done all these things, and they still are wrestling with it. Mm-hmm. And they saw thing after thing. Then in chapter 15, he deals with the Pharisees And he actually not only deals with the Pharisees and some of their legalism and their hypocrisy and their tradition, but what he does is he instructs the disciples also about this is not just for Jewish people. This is for Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And so we see the faith of a Canaanite woman. In fact, Brad, the two people that Jesus commends for their faith are a Canaanite woman and a Gentile centurion, right? Yeah. And so in this chapter 15, he's healing these people, and he does the same miracle with the Gentiles in a Gentile area that he did in the Jewish area. He feeds 4,000 men and their families. And then after that, the Pharisees say, "Hey, will you give us a sign?" Now think about that for a second.
He's fed 5,000. As if he hadn't done that yet.
He's raised people from the dead, mm-hmm. fed 5,000, fed 4,000. And then he starts teaching the disciples. But his disciples are struggling because he's talking about the crucifixion. So the next thing in chapter 17 we see is the transfiguration. And he goes from the transfiguration. He takes Peter, James, and John up on the mountain. And when he comes down from the mountain with them after revealing his glory up there to him, the other disciples are involved in a dispute with the religious leaders down there. They can't heal a guy. Jesus comes down there and says, "Oh, how long do I have to put up with this?" He heals the boy, but argument breaks out between the disciples over who's the greatest. Mm-hmm. And Jesus at that point calls a young child and puts him in right in the middle of them, and he talks to them about what it means to be great in his kingdom. That, listen, you need to go look for the lost sheep. You need to have a heart of a shepherd who goes after the lost sheep, you know. And then he instructs him about when your brother sins against you, how to deal with that. And then we see the parable of the unforgiving servant, where he talks about the guy who was forgiven but who wouldn't forgive another person that owed him. And then in chapter 19, we got into the whole teaching on divorce and God's view of marriage and what he feels like the permanence of marriage and how God always intended it to be that way. And then we got into the section we're looking at today. So that's a pretty, it's not exhaustive, obviously, but it's a good review of where we are. And he's just been bringing the disciples. Remember, he's primarily training those disciples.
Yes.
That's the focus, right? And so he just got through teaching about marriage. And he says, then it says right after he taught that, the children were brought to him, and his disciples said no, they wouldn't let the kids come. And that's the basis for moving forward into the rest of the chapter, is the children were brought to him. And isn't it fitting that after he's teaching on marriage, he brings up this thing about children, because children are a product of marriage, and they should be a product because we're told to be fruitful and multiply. Mm-hmm. And so I know we're fixing to go to a break, but I thought it was very important for people to have that perspective of the background, because we're about context. If you don't understand stuff in context, you can just jump in and make different assumptions. But the goal here for Matthew is to reveal him as king and reveal that he is training his disciples to be representatives of the king.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just being trained to be good people for Jesus, to be good for goodness sake, you know, so to speak, but to be good because they represent him.
Yeah, and he's going to send them out very soon.
Yeah, yeah. Even his sending out and bringing them back is preparing them for the fact that he said, "Okay, you're out there now. It's you. I'm off the scene. You've got it."
Right.
And I think we forget that sometimes.
Oh, man, do we?
Especially in coming to faith. I mean, mm-hmm. growing up, what did you think you came to faith for?
For a better life. Eternity with him.
Or that you wouldn't go to hell, right?
Right, exactly.
One of those two reasons.
That pass into glory. Yeah, being reminded that there is a purpose and a plan, and the purpose is his glory.
Mm-hmm.
The plan is my obedience to him.
Mm-hmm.
One of those obediences, go and make disciples.
Yep. So,
hey, listen, we're going to take a quick break. If you want to shoot us a message, ask@swatradio.com. We'll address it here on the air.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Val Dior. President Trump just wrapping up his address at the American Farm Bureau Federation's 100th annual convention in New Orleans, a crowd that he's very comfortable with. Common sense people, he calls them, who are the backbone of our country. And the president promising hope to farmers after he recently signed into law an $867 billion 10-year farm bill.
We are doing some things with trade that are going to have a tremendous impact. You're going to be doing business with Canada. You're going to be doing business with places where it was very, very difficult to do business. It was very unfair, and a lot of great things are going to happen.
And later today, the president welcomes college football champion Clemson Tigers to the White House. Also at townhall.com, police say a hostage standoff is over in Logan Township, New Jersey.
They were able to apprehend the suspect. Apparently was shot. The extent of his injuries are unknown at this point in time. He's been transported to the hospital. Both of the hostages have also been taken from the scene. Apparently there's no serious injuries to either one of the hostages.
That at a UPS facility earlier today. The Transportation Security Administration acknowledging that a Tokyo-bound passenger passed through security in Atlanta with an undetected gun. It happened 12 days ago at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. The passenger notified Delta after landing in Tokyo, but the TSA says standard procedures were not followed during the screening. The agency adds it'll hold those responsible appropriately accountable. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau extremely concerned that China has chosen to arbitrarily apply the death penalty against a Canadian. Robert Lloyd Schellenberg was issued a death sentence on drug charges. And on Wall Street, everything's still in the red. The Dow down 32, NASDAQ down 43, S&P down 9. For more details, visit townhall.com.
Still no active accidents, but there is a disabled vehicle on the East Beltway 295 southbound before Phillips Highway, and this causing some delays. Also a few delays because of a disabled vehicle on I-10 eastbound at the exit at Lane Avenue on the west side, and planned construction I-10 on the westbound ramp to the exit at Stockton Street. The off-ramp is closed. Partly cloudy and cool tonight, low 43. Tuesday, mostly sunny, high around 59.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio, Brad Sykes and Doug McCary. You know, Doug, I'm thinking about that song right there, More Than a Feeling. Discipleship is more than a feeling. Following Christ is more than a feeling.
Yeah, salvation is more than a feeling too, isn't it?
Isn't it? I mean, you asked me as we went on the break, you know, when I came to Christ, what did I expect? Now, I realize a lot of people don't know what to expect. It's a simple acknowledgement that I am in need.
Well, let me ask you a simple question about just the way we view things. Do you think the expectation today for a hamburger is different than it was 50 years ago?
Oh, absolutely.
Is there an expectation to get it quicker?
Yes.
Can you imagine 50 years ago? So let's think, it's 2019. It's almost 2020. So you're only talking about 50 years ago is 1970.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So 1970, if I were to say, I mean, there weren't that many fast food hamburger places back then.
No.
There were some, but there weren't many. Yeah, there was McDonald's.
In 1970?
In 1970.
Well,
in the 60s, there was a couple. There was like a Burger Chef. You remember that chain? It's called Burger Chef.
I remember Jack in the Box. And, of course, being from Texas, you had, of course, my favorite, Whataburger.
Whataburger.
You know, it's interesting as the you used to be the former franchisee of that. You know, the expectation when we moved when we brought that franchise to Jacksonville, was fast food.
Fast food.
People would get through the line, and it would take them 6 to 8 minutes, and a lot of them got real frustrated.
Yeah, think about that.
We had to build their expectations.
You're getting a fully cooked
meal
in 6 to 8 minutes. Now, just think about that.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is 70 years ago, people were happy to get it in 10 minutes as long as they got it made by somebody else.
Right.
Because most people cook their meals at home, right? Unless you went out for quote, fast food. Fast food in 10 minutes was fast food still then.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we look at the spiritual world, especially within the church, we want it quicker. We want it faster. We're not into long-term thought processes of what things are going to be. And even in the way we share the gospel with response. I mean, when Jesus came, the people of Israel for 400 years were living in silence from God. Now think about that. For 400 years, they had not heard from God when he had spoken through prophets. They had his word, but I mean, he had always had prophets, but they said there's one prophet who's going to come, and when he comes, he's going to make all things right. And they were looking for that person for 400 years. Most of us aren't thinking about Messiah. We're thinking about, I don't want to be judged for all my sin. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to this place. They weren't necessarily thinking that. That was part of it. They just wanted, they wanted to be redeemed as a people. They viewed Israel itself as God's chosen people to be in relationship with him. It was always about relationship. Somewhere along the line, we made it about destination.
Mm-hmm.
But it was always about relationship with the Creator God in family with him, in family relationship. And
don't you think, Doug, we made it transactional?
Oh, yeah. Most.
So you're talking about relational versus transactional.
Yeah, exactly. And my point is, you remember me sharing a story at SWAT last week, or it was before the holidays, about this lady over in Russia named Olya. And this lady, we went in to visit her because we used to go on these trips over there. We knock on the doors, invite people to a meeting, and we'd share the gospel with them if they'd let us. And we shared the gospel with her, and she trusted Christ. And, you know, we went through the little booklet and talked to her about what the plan of salvation was and everything. And she prayed to receive Christ. And a few days later, we go back and we say, Olya, you know, if you were standing before God right now and he said, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? And she said, well, in her broken, it wasn't even an accent. It was through the translator. She said, I've tried to live a good life and I would hope God would let me in. Hmm. But it was about trying to live a good life, which was the answer she said 3 days earlier. And my point is, nothing really transpired in the 3 days. She prayed with us because I think in her mind she wanted it. But when we started talking to her, she didn't really believe God could forgive her for some of the sins in her life. And I think, you know, we're quick to look at that and say, well, I'm different. Or there's a lot of people in America who've prayed a prayer, been sprinkled, been confirmed. They've had things go on in their life, but they do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't know him. He doesn't know them, except he created them. But when he says, I don't know you, that's an intimacy term he's talking about there. He's saying that we're not in relationship together. That's what he's talking about. And I think there's a lot of people that believe because of a transaction, like you said earlier, that they're in the kingdom. The transaction is only the visible manifestation of what's already going on in a person's heart. It's kind of like baptism. Baptism saves no one. It is merely a reflection of what has transpired in the heart of somebody. And so I think you're right. We have become transactional. And I think what Jesus brings out in this passage, starting talking about children, is he lays out four things, Brad. The character of saving faith, the conviction of saving faith, the confirmation of saving faith, and then the crown of saving faith in 13 through 30. And I think during the remaining portion of today, I want to focus on the character of saving faith, and it's to be like a child. And you and I talked about what it means to be like a child. I mean, simple, honest. I mean, what else? When you think of a child, what do you think of?
Naive. trusting.
Yeah. Trusting is a good one. Naive is right. But if you're naive about something and you have to be kind of humble, because think about it. The word here in this particular passage that you're going to read is the word padia, which means little. But the same account over in Luke, and Luke is more technical because he's writing as from a physician's background, is brephos, B-R-E-P-H-O-S, which means infant. And so he's talking about an infant, a nursing baby. And when you think about that, that baby can't have any pride. They can't do anything. They can't. They're totally dependent on other people. And that's what I think the character of saving faith is, being totally dependent on God. Not I'm doing this, not I'm bringing myself to him. And what we're going to see in this passage is the contrast between the children who are brought to Jesus and the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus on his own and says, hey, what do I have to do?
Right.
And I think it's pretty clear the contrast. So would you read 13 through 30 of Matthew 19, and then we're going to come back and look at this character of saving faith. What does it mean to be like a child in the way we trust?
Matthew 19, beginning in verse 13, then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. And behold, a man came up to him, saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him, If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." And when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter said in reply, "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly, I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold. And will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first."
May God bless his word. You know, the children were brought to him, and it says that they might lay the hands. You remember when you were in India, did they do that over in the church when you were over there?
Yes. Yeah.
It's a very Eastern thing to bring your children to let the holy man or the spiritual person pray. And when we come back, we're going to talk about why maybe the disciples did not want them to come. Why would they keep these children from coming to Jesus? So think about that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Just the chapter or two before that, he addresses children.
Yeah, he does.
Hey, glad you joined us today. You want to give us a call in this last segment, 904-401-1413, SWAT Radio.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.astore.com.
You know our love was meant to be the kind of love to last forever. And I want you here with me from tonight until the end of time. You
welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here this Monday afternoon.
Yeah, it's good to be back in the studio, Brad, going through this stuff, just rethinking about what it means to have saving faith. And the character of that saving faith is pretty clear. You know, Jesus had a special place in his heart and the kingdom for those that were despised out in the world, whether it was a tax collector like Matthew, women, poor women, the poor people, and children, because children were often looked down on. You know, there's something about the simple faith of a child, the vulnerability of a child, just their humility. And they were really models that Jesus used. I mean, he used the term little ones to refer to his disciples, even over in Matthew 10 and Matthew 18, previous, you know, to what we're looking at here in 19.
Well, not to interrupt you, I'm, you know, I think it was good that you brought up the fact that when he talks about children, it's really the picture of an infant.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me, as I look at verse 14, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven."
Mm-hmm.
And I think he says before, if you would become like a child. So it is literally this idea of complete and total dependence.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have both recently had grandchildren who were infants, very recently. You know, and that's a great picture that infant can do absolutely nothing. Now, when they get to about one or two, they think they can do a lot.
Yeah.
We still know.
And as we get older, we continue to think that we can do more.
Yeah, it's a gradual withering away of that humility.
And I think he's making a point here about children that say that listen, he's not saying that all children are automatically saved. What he's saying is that he's just saying their status, their lowly status, is really a model for discipleship and the heart for salvation
Yeah, he says, such belongs the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, and I think it's really important. One of the things that's, too, I brought this out earlier, is that they were being brought to him. They obviously were so small, they couldn't even come on their own, but they were being brought to him. And I think about a child, like you said, they can't do anything. And, you know, we are commanded in Scripture to bring up children in the Lord, Ephesians 6:4, and also back in even Deuteronomy, when they were told, you know, Moses was told to teach the people, you know, the Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, and then teach this to your children when you rise up, when you lay down, write it on the doorpost, write it on the between the frontlets of your eyes, and teach it to your children. And when they ask, hey, why are we keeping these laws? Don't explain to them, just tell them what God has done. And I was thinking about that and just thinking about the instruction to do that. And so here these people are bringing their little infants to Jesus to be blessed by him, which would, one, indicate that they thought his blessing was important, first of all, but the disciples didn't. Why? Why do you think they didn't? Why do you think they pushed back against the people? It says they rebuked the people. They didn't just say, hey, he's busy, but they rebuked the people for doing it. And that word means to chide or reprimand or correct. So they're saying, hey, stop this. Think about that for a second. Why would they be doing that?
You know, my initial thought, Doug, is that they may have thought that this is for serious people. This is, for the intellect. You know, I don't know. I mean, I think there's a tendency to believe that children aren't able to comprehend or understand.
Yeah, they felt like it's probably a waste of time.
Right.
Well, think about it. Have you ever been... You remember when your kids were really, really young, were you ever in the presence of somebody like a political statesman or somebody who was very prominent, and your kids were with you and you were like trying to keep your kids away from them because you didn't want them to be a hindrance to them, mm-hmm. almost? I think of Abraham Lincoln, who was always very respectful of children. And he would tip his hat to children because he said, you never know who they may become. He just had a value for children. Well, the disciples, I really believe, they believed that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to do the most important thing. And he was obviously the most important person. And it would have been a waste of time for him just to sit there and pray blessings over the kids. But those parents didn't believe it was a waste of time, and they wanted to do it. And I think Jesus valued that, not only from the perspective of he wanted to honor those parents. See, I think in our culture especially, we have so diminished the blessing of people, of a parent, of a father. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Back in that day, and even prior to that day, a father's blessing over a son or a daughter was a huge thing. Mm-hmm. For him to pray a blessing at the end of his life or in any time to bring a curse on them. And I think we've diminished that. We see a preacher's role. I get asked a lot in other countries to pray over people. Not so much here.
Yeah.
Here people just want to hear what you got to say and then they want to leave. Over mm-hmm. in other countries, they want you to pray over them. They want a blessing prayed over them. Why? Because they believe that the power of a blessing. And these parents did too. And so I think for Jesus, he saw it as an opportunity, as an object lesson, but also it needed to be addressed in the disciples. You don't rebuke people who are bringing their kids to Jesus. It's an important principle. We don't limit who comes to Jesus. Only he can do that. But we do, don't we?
Oh, man, don't we?
I mean, well, you can't come to him like that, or you can't, you know. Who are we to limit who comes to him?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we don't limit who comes to him. We tell people, we give people an opportunity to go. He can limit who comes to him, you know, and I think he did. Like, I think when the rich young ruler we're going to read about tomorrow, the follow-up of this, the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, is that there was a guy who came to him and he put up a barrier. And the guy went away, sad.
Makes me think, Doug, about how many people that we may look at and not go to share the love of Christ with them, not go share a word with them, not go pray with them, because we think maybe they're unreachable. That's, you know, it's as if to say, I don't want to be around those kind of people, or I don't want to be around that person, or I don't like that person, or that person doesn't vote the way I vote, or think the way I think, or speak the way I think. You know, I think you're right. I think in our culture, I was meeting with a guy today who listens to us, and we were talking about this holy huddle that it's easy for us to get trapped in, that these are the people I like to hang around with, and we just kind of move around in this little huddle, never breaking out of that huddle, because either we think we're better than somebody else and therefore think somebody else will have to reach those people.
Well, and remember, the mission from the very beginning, God's people were chosen to be a vehicle that would carry the message of God around the world. I mean, it was that they weren't chosen just to be the recipients of God's blessing. They were to bless the world. Basically, what God said was, I want all the world to know that I am the one true God and you're my priest. You're my priest. And so we are saved and brought into the kingdom to be those priests. Well, the character of saving faith is humility. That's what he's, people that will serve him. And, you know, I got a text or an email yesterday from one of our SWAT brothers, and he said, I wanted to share with you one of the most unique obituaries I've ever read. It was in the Tampa paper. It's kind of funny initially, but from an eternal perspective, it's sad. This guy named Mikey wrote his own obituary where he admitted not being a man of faith. And he says, I never believed in life after death. I hope I was right. That's what the guy says. And he goes, Mikey guessed wrong, Doug, as we know. My point is, we should be looking for the Mikeys that we know, or the Mikeys that the Lord will introduce to us this year in 2019 to share the hope of Jesus. And that's really why we're here. And so God did not save us so that we can merely be the recipients, but they would be the conduits of his grace and faith to other people. So as we kind of close out today's program, I just really want to encourage you to ask the question, you know, in my life, do I have a childlike trust? Do I really have a childlike trust of God? Or have I become cynical and very self-sufficient, so where I don't even depend on him, I don't trust him, and I'm certainly not looking to him. I'm out on my own, just doing my own thing. I think it's important for us to ask or answer those questions. So
this was something J.C. Ryle said, saving faith and real converting grace will always produce some conformity to the image of Christ. And I think it's important, if you're out there listening, examine yourself. Paul says, examine yourself. See if you're of the faith. We had that question a couple of times after our last SWAT get-together. Some guys wrestled with this text about the rich young ruler, because we are the rich young ruler.
Yeah.
Doug, good to be with you, buddy.
You too.
See you tomorrow. SWAT Radio. We'll be back.
Yeah, SWATradio.com.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts. and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park.